Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Can any good thing come out of Deuteronomy? Yes, absolutely. If it's in the Word of God, it's good. All right, so let's go over some of the notes from last time we got together. We were at chapter 4, and we started at verse 11, and we're talking about the indelible mark, verse 11. Let me look at that real quick, and just want to highlight some of this. You'll have to excuse me this evening with my voice, but and you came near and you stood under the mountain. Remember that? That was an indelible mark. I mean, anytime you had a major experience with God, it leaves an indelible mark. Let me try that again. Anytime you have a tremendous experience with God, it leaves an indelible mark. There are times in my life, and I know you can do it too, so it could be testimony time all through the room here, but there's certain places and times when I remember what God did something specifically, he said something specifically, he did something mighty, and you go back to that and you go right there. That's where God did it. You never forget that. So there was an indelible mark that he left on them, and he was talking about that. And he spake, and they heard, but they saw no image. Remember that? He spake, they heard, but they didn't see any image. And we go into that later on. Remember, God speaks in the fire. God speaks in the fire. Let me kind of clarify that a little bit or expound on that. That doesn't just mean the fire of his glory. It also means that God speaks to you in the fiery trials. It's not always the hype and the woo, we're at camp meeting and the power of God and the smoke machines, you know, the lights and all that stuff. Sometimes it's laying on your back and you're in pain. Sometimes you got problems, you got an issue, and it's in that fiery moment the Lord speaks to you and says, you know what? I love you. I got a plan for you. I'm going to lift you up out of this thing, you know? And that's some of the most tender moments with the Lord. Okay? So we talked about that. Oh, man, so many good things. Excuse me, verse 16. Take heed. Take heed. Okay? You got to take heed. You know, you got to listen. If the Lord's speaking, listen. Get into his word. Let him speak to your heart. But then you got to take heed. Lest you what? Lest you forget. Lest you forget. Just like those experiences I mentioned of seeing and hearing things of God, you need to go back and remind yourself when you're in trouble next time. You know what? He took care of you before. If he took care of you before, he's going to take care of you again because he's faithful. And a lot of times we got to remind ourselves that. Remember the furnace? I thought that was so cool. Remember he said, I don't want you to make any image of anything because I'm going to burn that image inside of you. You don't need to walk around carrying stuff and ornaments and trinkets and stuff like that. I'm going to do something so powerful in you that the image of who I am will be burned inside of your heart forever. Woo! Glory to God. Now, nothing wrong with you, you know, wearing religious things or whatever, a cross or what have you. I don't care about that. But this is the reason why he told him that. Because the other reason why, as I shared with you, is he's so awesome. How do you describe him? You ever tried to describe the Holy Ghost to somebody? When my children were first growing up, you know, we'd lay hands on them and say, what do you feel? Warm? You know, they felt the warmth. How many of y'all know that you feel the warmth of the Holy Spirit? They say, I feel tingling. You know, how do you explain electricity? You know, how do you explain the effects of the wind? You really can't. And so God was like, I don't want you making any graven image. I don't even want you seeing my image because if I do, you're going to go back and try to encapsulate me and box me in. And that's the problem with the modern church today is we try to box God in by what we experience. And most churches never move past their last move of God because they try to capture that and make a museum and a monument out of it and say, this is what God did 50 years ago. This is only what he can do. No, he's still the God of prosperity as he's a God of healing. He's not only the God of healing, he's a God of prophecy. He's not only the God of prophecy, he's a God of discipline. I mean, on and on it goes. And so we can't make graven images even of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you, as soon as you think you figured him out, he's going to move into another dimension. And he'll play hide and seek. One of the greatest adventures in faith is hide and seek with God. And the day you think you captured God is the day you made your biggest mistake. You might as well get your tombstone. You might as well get it ready because you've died right there. That's good teaching anyways. So let's go on. Man, I want to teach this whole thing again. But remember that furnace was 30 feet deep usually. It was so hot. It left that indelible mark as well. Man, good stuff. Let's see what else. Wanted to give to you verses 21 through 22, a really sad part of the scripture, part of the story, but Moses must die. Moses must die. Moses could not go over into the promised land. And you know what? There's certain things in your life and even certain people who can't come with you to the promised land. They can't come to the next promotion in your life. They can only go so far with you. Now, don't try to figure out how to get rid of them. That's not what this is about. Someone says, "Oh, rat, you don't belong." No, that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is there's certain things. You know, there's a lot of, let me give you a great example, and I'll move on to tonight's teaching. But so many people, let's just use couples or what have you, even friendships. I really want to excel in God. I really want to go on, but the person next to me doesn't. So I'll stay right here with them. I really want to go for God, but my spouse doesn't want to. I really want to go for God, but my best friend doesn't want to. And so we limit ourselves by friendship and fellowship of those around us instead of saying, you know what, I got to decouple from you. I got to let go of you. I love you, but I have to go on. All right? But, you know, Moses, we know, disobeyed, and he did not get the chance to do that. Verse 26 was the warnings. Verse 29, I talked about the amazing grace. And then verse 41, we talked about the city of refuge. All right, so let's go to chapter 5. Chapter 5. I hope this is blessing you and bringing you to a closer relationship with the Lord. Remember what he told me. He said, if you really want to know me, read the book of Deuteronomy. And remember we said that, and I hope that has proven true for you. It has for me thus far as well. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. So watch this. And Moses called half of Israel. What? My trick Bible again. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep them and do them." So Moses called all of Israel together, and watch this. He said, "I want you to learn them." In the Hebrew, that word learn, excuse me, means to be trained. To be trained. I want you to learn, but you need to be trained. And then he says, there's three things I want you to see. Learn. Then he says, "I want you to keep," which we know that word is shamar, which means to guard, as Adam was told to guard in the Garden of Eden. And then finally, do it. That word there in the Hebrew breaks down in definition. It means to work it. So you need to learn it, you need to guard it, and you need to do it. Very powerful principle right there in the beginning of Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. You need to learn it. You need to guard it. And you need to do it. What is he talking about? You need to learn the statutes of God. You and I as disciples, disciplined followers of Jesus Christ, we need to learn it. We need to learn the word of God. Then we need to guard it. What you learn, guard. Don't let nobody steal it from you. Don't let a spouse, a neighbor, a friend, steal from you, a denomination, a false teacher. You believe in the healing power of God? Learn it. And then guard it and say, I don't care what I'm feeling in my body. I believe that I'm healed. You believe in the prosperity of God and the covenant of God that he'll bless you coming in, going out into the city and the field, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, men giving it to your bosom, running over. If you believe that, then learn it, guard it, and then what? Do it. Very powerful principle. This same principle, somebody say, well, that's this Old Testament. That's New Testament truth. That's New Testament truth. Because, see, the truth of the Word of God doesn't change once it gets to Matthew. It doesn't become relevant and current and alive when it hits Matthew. The Word of God is alive from Genesis to the book of Revelation. From the beginning to the end, because he is the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. Where does he start? He starts in my salvation. Where do I start? I start in the book of Genesis to learn about him. See, don't sit underneath a knucklehead that'll sit there and lead you into a false relationship with God. I believe in the full gospel. Somebody say amen. So you see that? Let's go back together. Verse 1, and Moses called all Israel, and he said to them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them, you may guard them or keep them and do them. Verse 2, the Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Watch this. He made a covenant with us. Israel, don't forget this. Church, don't forget this. God made a covenant. Verse 3, the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. So what's he talking about? He's bringing them into remembrance that, listen, what God is doing is something special with us. He's doing something current with us. That God is a current God. And that the covenants of God, watch this, they're generational and they're transferable. They're generational and they are transferable. But notice he said, I'm making this covenant with you. I didn't make this covenant with your fathers. What does that mean? That means that they were walking under the covenant of Abraham. But Moses is saying, because you came to the fire, you were baptized in the fire, you were baptized in that glory, God gave you a new covenant. God made a new covenant with you. It did not get rid of the Abrahamic covenant. It just gave them a new covenant and a new relationship. Powerful, man. And Moses is saying that this is going to be transferable. You're going to pass it on to your children. Verse 4, the Lord talked with you face to face. Everybody say face to face. Hallelujah. In the mount out of the midst of the fire. Again, he speaks where? Out of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not into the mount, saying, watch this, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I am the Lord thy God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Watch this, write this down. Remember your past. Remember your past. Now, we were taught before in old school, in old church, you know, you forget about your past, that's the past. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you must remember your past so you don't go repeat your past and you can remember how good God was and how good God is. Because if God took care of me in my past, guess what? He'll take care of me in my present and my future. He's the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. So he reminded them. He wasn't using that to harm them and say, see what I did for you, see what I did for you. You ever had anybody do that? You ever somebody give you something and they hang it over your head and say, remember I did this for you? Well, yeah, that was like 30 years ago. Thanks. God isn't doing that. He's saying, I brought you out of bondage. Remember that. Remember that when you get in trouble. Remember that when you're going through all the things that you're going to go through. I'm the one that got you out of it. So remember your past. Verse 7, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. Verse 8, and thou shalt not make thee any graven images or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For the Lord thy God is a what? Jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, I want you to see this. God is not saying that he's going to curse the children because of what the fathers did. What he's saying is that if, because notice here at the end it says what? Those that hate me. So if there's a continuous hatred that is generational, that is transferable, guess what? It's going to come upon them. So not only are the blessings transferable and generational, so are cursings. So he's not talking about, let me get some water. He's not talking about punishing somebody because of something that their fathers did. There are generational curses, but he's talking about those who hate him, continuously learning what their parents did, continuously learning what their forefathers did in the form of idolatry. Excuse me so much. Forgive me, guys. Verse 10, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Verse 11, and thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember that. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. That isn't just cussing. That's also using his name in a way that is not holy. That's using his name outside the power of that name. Verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. All right. So remember, Jesus is what? He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's our rest. I know some people get in arguments and all that. But the Bible is very clear that man was not, you know, made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for the man. So we should find, excuse me, time to rest and all those things. But, you know, people get really, really wild about it. And I just choose to make the Lord my Sabbath and to rest in him. Okay? But the seventh day, now what's he doing? He's going over covenant again. He's going over covenant. And that's important. Why? Because repeating brings you to a place of understanding. Repeating also brings you to a place of faith. Okay? But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou or thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant. Some of our children already have this worked out. They don't, every day is a Sabbath to them. They don't do any work. Watch out now. Nor thy manservant, maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thy ass, or any of thy cattle, or thy stranger that is within thy gates. Man, we wouldn't get nothing done, would we? That thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. So we're not going to get into the whole Sabbath thing. and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. Notice he brings them back to that understanding. You were a servant in the land of Egypt. Remember that. I remember that I was a slave to sin. That's healthy. That's healthy to remember. Not that I want to go back to it. Not that I dream of the days or become incapacitated by my past. But I realize and recognize how good God was and is to take me out of that mess and keep me from it. How clean it makes me feel to know I'm redeemed. Doesn't that bless you? And he's telling them this, okay? Because in Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses is doing a lot of repeating. And again, repeating is healthy. Repeating the word of God, repeating, going over in your mind and rethinking about what he's done for you is a very good thing for your soul. It's very healthy to go back and say, God, I remember how you took me out of the miry clay. I remember how you put my feet on a rock to stay. I remember, Lord God, I should be dead today, but I'm alive. God, I remember, I remember, I remember. And if we do that, it just cleanses us and makes us really appreciative of what the Lord has done. All right. And I'll tell you what else it does. It gives you faith for what you're facing next. It really does. It gives you faith. Because here's what the devil does. The devil will make your next attack look like the greatest and the final battle of your life. Doesn't he? But if you really stop and take an inventory and just back up with the Holy Spirit a little bit, you'll find out you've been through worse. You've been through worse, and God has been great to you. God has been good to you. And that's what fear is. Fear is false evidence that appears real. And the devil makes a mountain out of a molehill. Amen? And so we have to remind ourselves. And that's what Moses is doing here. The land of Egypt and the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a weak, soft snowflake hand. No, I don't think so. Through a what? A mighty hand. Come on now. A mighty fortress is he. And by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath. Again, I'm keeping the Sabbath by remembering what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. My Sabbath is every day. My Sabbath is a lifestyle. My Sabbath is a mindset. My Sabbath is my Savior. He is my day. What day? This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. You see, if I can find a day of the week to just do nothing, that'd be nice. But I don't always have that luxury. But every day I can find my rest in him. And at least one time a week, I can tabernacle together with my brothers and sisters and say, this is our Sabbath together where we worship the Lord Jesus Christ in the beauty of holiness. That's awesome, man. Verse 16, honor thy mother and thy father, lest they take you out. That's not in there, is there? Sorry about that. Just one of my children to hear that. Honor thy father and thy mother. How many of y'all heard that growing up? I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Yes, ma'am. You know, back then you couldn't call the police on that. Today you could. That's a terroristic threat, isn't it? Back then, let me tell you, terrorism? Come here. You ain't gonna worry about ISIS. You got Mises. I'm fixing to come over and tear you up. All right. So honor thy mother and thy father, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged. Well, that's about the same thing. You want to live? Love mom and daddy. I want you to write down, if you're taking notes around that area there, verse 16, your life source. Honor your life source. Honor your life source. You have several life sources in your life. Let me go over them real quick. Obviously, your mom and dad. That's your parents, and that includes your grandparents if they're still alive. That's your life source. Your other form of life source is your spiritual leaders, people who speak over you, speak to you, who love you, pray for you, care for you. They're a life source. You may think of them as just, you know, the big ogre that stands up behind a pulpit and beats you up with the Bible and whatever, but they're not. They're your life source. They love you. They're caring for you. They're praying for protection over your soul. And then the other form of life source is the people that are around you, the people, excuse me, who feed you, nurture you, whether it's your spouse or whether it's a good friend or a church member. Excuse me. These are life source. These are people that you need to honor, okay? Maybe you've never heard me teach on that or mention that before, but life source are very important. Keep them well fed. Keep them well watered. Keep them well honored. And pray for them. As you do, a greater life comes out of them for you. Okay? And that goes back to the teaching of honoring. All right, so let's go. Verse 17, thou shalt not kill. How many of y'all know that's pretty good? Thou shalt not kill. Neither shalt thou commit adultery. Neither shalt thou steal. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Verse 21, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. Neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. Well, was that just the Ten Commandments? But there's a problem with verse 21. I think we found a typo in the Bible. We got a problem right here. We have a little bit of a contradiction. Huh. Let's see if we can go fix that. Go over to Exodus. Let's see if I can find that scripture for you real quick. Exodus chapter 21. Would you go there real quick? Keep your finger here. When I was studying this today, I was like, all right, this is cool. Somebody says, a typo? There's a mistake. He found a mistake in the Bible. Exodus chapter 21, or excuse me, 20, forgive me. Nah, there ain't no mistake there, but watch this. This is really cool. The Holy Spirit blew my mind away with this. Okay, Exodus chapter 20, and let's go to verse 17. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is his neighbor's. Now go back to 21, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21, real fast. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. What's wrong with these two? Moses added his field. Watch this. Why did Moses add the field of his neighbor? Because now Israel was going to become landowners. They were about to possess land. Now watch this. This is what the Holy Spirit showed me. And I wrote this down for you. Every new season brings an adjustment of instruction, attitude, and obedience. Every new season brings on an adjustment of instruction, attitude, and obedience. Instruction, attitude, and obedience. They were going from being sojourners and wanderers and vagabonds to now becoming landowners. And God instructs Moses to tell them, when you get to that land, don't you covet, don't you desire another man's field. Because now you're about to own something yourself. So the lesson for you and I today is that before I can go into a new season, I need to be ready for an adjustment in my instruction from God. I need to have an attitude that I'm going to be willing to follow it. And then finally, I have to obey it. And when I do those things, I can enter in and possess the land. In 2020, you need to do that. In these next few weeks, downtime, you know, before the end of the year, you need to reflect and say, what am I going to do in 2020? What new instructions is God going to give me? What cycle am I going to break in my life? What addiction am I going to end this year? What am I going to do this year? What new attitude will I have towards God? And will I obey him in 2020? Very powerful. And if you just read through this, you wouldn't have saw that. But if you sit there and just let the Holy Spirit teach you and catch that, and you say, wait a minute, you didn't say that before? No, because it's a new season. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Now, let me give you a real quick tidbit. What's really cool is all the other 10 commandments, the other nine commandments have to do with actions. Basically actions. Number 10 is the only one that has to do with thoughts. Because you read it again. He said, don't crave, don't desire. That word lust means to crave. Or desire means to lust. Don't you think about it. Don't think about that wife. Don't think about that land. Don't think about that ox. Don't think about the manservant and the maidservant. You don't think about those things. You think about what I gave you. Isn't that powerful? I'll give you another tidbit about the Ten Commandments. You ready for it? Four of the Ten Commandments deal with God and man. Relational. The other six have to do with human relations. Do you know what that means? That means you're going to be spending more time with human relations than you are with God. How dare you say that? I'm with God all the time. No, you're not. You pray three times a day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You're with human relationships more than you are with God. And our biggest problem isn't with God. Our biggest problem is with each other. You see that? So that's a pretty cool tidbit to see. God is trying to get us to, you know, I really believe this. If we can find harmony and unity among each other, our relationship with God will be more peaceful. Because you know what? When you and I are mad at each other, it usually affects our relationship with God, doesn't it? If I have a problem with somebody, it messes my prayer life up. I'm aggravated. I'm irritated. I'm ready to stomp a hole in somebody's back. Remember that old saying? You know, I got an issue. I got something up my craw. Whatever, and it just messes me and God up. Anybody that's ever been married before, you know that's true. The number one way the devil stops your prayer life is to have a problem between you and your spouse. And if you're not married, it's your family member. And isn't it funny how you're really, really just excelling in prayer, and man, you're having angels and lightnings and thunders, and man, you're in Mount Sinai. I mean, this is awesome, you and God. And then all of a sudden, you have relationship problems. All of a sudden, you and Granny are fighting, or whatever. So that's a pretty cool thing there. If you didn't know it, it's just a little information for you. But verse 21, so he's telling them, he adds in there about the field. Don't you be coveting his field, because you're going to be landowners. And get ready for this change that's going to come to you. Just one other scripture I had there was James chapter 1, 13 through 15, that deals with thoughts, remember? It's our lust that messes us up, okay? And that's what he's trying to tell them. Don't let that lust get in the way. Okay. And these words, the Lord spake unto all your assembly and the mount out of the midst of the fire, of the cloud, and of the thick darkness with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them on two tables of stone and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, and all the heads of your tribes and your elders. Watch this, verse 24. And you said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that the Lord doth talk with man and liveth. And he liveth. So it was just a miracle to be able to see Moses up there, and he was still alive. Now, therefore, why would we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. That must have been an amazing experience. To be in the presence of God like that, and to hear his voice, and to see all that, and recognize and realize that, man, if I hear it one more time, I'm a dead man. Wow. That's what the world needs. Wouldn't that be amazing, man? The world would change if we could get God to show up like that in the house of God again. Now watch verse 27. This is important. Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say. I want you to see a powerful principle. Go near and hear. You want to hear? Go near. You want to hear? Go near. But you got to hear it all. Don't hear what you just want to hear. You want to hear? Go near. But you got to hear it all. We can't choose. We can't just pick what we want to hear in the gospel, in the word of God. We need to hear it all. Even if that's saying, son, you need to repent. Daughter, you got sin in your life. Watch that. That's awesome. So he said, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak you unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto you, and we shall hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when he spake unto to me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee, and they have well said that they have spoken. Verse 29. Watch this. This is the heart of God. This, when I read this, Brother Mike, this really blessed me, and it just put the indelible mark in my heart. Oh, that they were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Do you hear what the Lord said? He's like, oh, if they would just have this heart. You can hear the Father in this. You can hear his tender heart saying, man, if they really, really, really had this heart to keep my commandments, that it would be well with them. I want it to be well with you. God wants it well with us. And he wants it well with our children. Verse 30. Go say to them, get you into your tents again. But as for thee, and thou hereby me, I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which thou shalt teach them, that they may do them in the land which you have that I will give them to possess it. And then he goes on, verse 32, and you shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you, and you shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left, and you shall walk, everybody say walk, in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live. So notice this, you need to walk in the way that he commands you so that you can live. You don't walk any way you want to walk. You don't live any way you want to live. You do it according to the commandments of God, and it may be well with thee. That it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. So the three things I want you to see here. When you begin to follow him and walk accordingly, number one, you're going to live. Number two, you're going to be well. And number three, you're going to prolong your days. That's the same principle for you and I as it was for the children of Israel. It's the same principle for you and I. We have that opportunity to live well. We have that opportunity to be well. We have that opportunity to prolong our days and to see the blessings of God. We just have to obey him. Amen? Well, I hope this has been a blessing to you tonight. And it's going to get gooder and gooder as we go down the road. Father, we love you. Thank you again for everything that you've given us tonight. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the book of Deuteronomy. May we continue to listen to these truths so that we can live, we can be well, and we can prolong our days serving you and loving you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.